Over the last 20 years, you may have noticed or known or participated that there is a reawakening of the Maori language. I've been here since 1957. I have observed, you know, the development of New Zealand over since 1957. And an important development was the resurgence of the Maori language. And I just want to tell you a little bit more about it, which might not be kind of obvious to you or to the students or to ordinary people, that there is actually a great meaning behind it. And it's much more than just educational. First of all, there is the idea of the Pleiades, which is, you know, the signified the new year. But there is much, much more which I would like to share with you. What's actually happening in the invisible worlds or realms where you might not be in touch with. It's not accidental that the Maori language is suddenly being revived. And it's not accidental that suddenly now the Maori are interested in the Pleiades. Actually, the two are connected. An amazing thing is happening, which might not actually be known to you if you're not working on the esoteric side or inner side of things, which I do. I've been born in this peculiar kind of consciousness, which is aware of inner energies and dimensions and realities, and I work through that. So there's an amazing thing is happening in New Zealand, and that's the development of the Maori language. And that's actually very, very significant, not only to the Maori, but the whole Pacific Islands. And by the development of the Maori language, I don't mean, you know, that you're getting a few new words about cars and houses or something like that, or some material thing. It's much, much more than that. And that much, much more is what I would like to kind of share with you, what's happening, so that you actually understand this rebirth of the Maori language. Now, by rebirth of the Maori language, we don't mean that, you know, ordinarily you think that, well, it means that the kids are learning Maori language, which is fine. That's not what is meant by a rebirth of a language. So I just try to cover several items. One is the idea of civilization, and then we go to Matariki or the Pleiades and how does it fit in. This is supposed to be a celebration of Matariki, okay, the Pleiades, and it's supposed to introduce the Maori New Year, but there is something much more behind that. You have to tear away the veil from your eyes, and you see the amazing things which are happening in New Zealand. Now, what's happening is that Maori are beginning to respond to a cosmic energy, and that cosmic energy is symbolized by Matariki, okay, the Pleiades. As you know, everything in the cosmos is made up of energies. The planets are emanating energies. The sun emanates energies. The moon emanates energies. All the stars emanate energies. Now, when a particular civilization comes about, certain stars are being discovered. You know, on the outer worldly level, it means that somebody discovers a particular star or a particular planet. But what the populace doesn't know, that discovery is because their consciousness has grown to that point of awareness. Years ago, we had only about 7 or 8 of planets known. And then since they so-called discovered Pluto, Uranus, Neptune. Okay. Now, when they discovered Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, it means that humanity has grown in terms of consciousness to be able to register those vibrations. Mm-hmm. So now, when the Maori are reinterested in Matariki, it means that in the Maori consciousness, there is a growth which enables to pick up the energy of Matariki, the star systems, or the group of 7 stars which is Matariki, okay? Now, what does that mean? It means a much more deeper layer than that. If you studied ancient civilizations, you know that every civilization has started at the beginning and went to peak and then went down again. You look at the Persian civilization, you look at the Egyptian civilization, you look at the Roman civilization, the British Empire, or the Chinese empires, all the world civilizations, they had a beginning and a seed. And then you may have noticed a very interesting thing if you study civilization, that as the language grew, so did the civilization grow. When the language reaches peak, the civilization reaches peak. You have to just think and put it together. A language peak, civilization peak. And then the civilization declines and the language declines with it. All the civilization, there's one interesting factor. The language made it, and when the language reaches peak, the civilization reaches peak, and then it declines, and so does the language decline. So what does that add up to? It means that societies are responding to invisible influences, invisible energies, unseen energies, and in response to that, they develop language. And when the language is developed, they develop the idea of communication, sharing the information. Just rewind the clock a little bit back. Look at, say, some tribes in Papua New Guinea or the Amazon jungle. If you go amongst them, they have about 700 or 800 words. That's all. All the so-called primitive tribes, they have a language skill of 700 or 800 words, which has to do with the immediate environment. You know, their house, their family life, the jungle around them or whatever. Very simple. No other words. Why? They haven't come across ideas which symbolize other realities. In other words, they have no philosophic language. They have no scientific language. They have no literature. Why? Because they haven't developed to the degree they can use it or appreciate it. In other words, a language is the measure of a civilization. The bigger the language, the bigger the civilization. The more comprehensive the language, the more comprehensive the civilization. In other words, the evolution of civilization is marked by the evolution of language. And here we come back to the Maori again. We have a revival, you know, a renewal of the Maori language. But you have to understand that a little bit more esoterically. It's not just, you know, teaching the kids Maori, that's fine. But there's more to that. The Maori language has three different possibilities, like all the other languages in the world. This book won the gold medal in the United States and the first prize here, but why? It wasn't about rugby football, it wasn't about wine, it wasn't about cooking, it was about ideas. This contains fantastic ideas or truths relating to life, to the destiny of nations, your destiny, the destiny of the soul. And why it won? Because people realize that it's got a message to it. It means that the English language people are able to appreciate the contents. So now, bringing back to the Maori. Over the years, we have been, you know, working with the Maori school, and more words were added into the Maori language. So, you have three layers of language. You have the ordinary communication, you know, the normal household words, cat sat on the mat and all that, just, you know, how to take a bus, just ordinary language. But you may have noticed that beyond that ordinary language is a deeper language we call the spiritual language, the religious language. This is where you do the karakias, the chants, the teaching of spiritual things, traditions and so on like that. So that's the next layer of development. That's still not the ultimate layer of development. Beyond that, there's a transformational language. That is the ones for the initiated, the old pahungas and the priests, you know, the guys who used to have the esoteric or hidden wisdom, hidden knowledge. They knew certain sequences of sound which can produce magical effects, which can transform your mind. We call that transformative language. So now what is interesting is that in New Zealand, you're going through, without even realize, a mass evolution of the Maori language. Not just on the ordinary language side of it, and you know how you want the kids to go and learn the Maori language, which is very, very good. It's very, very fine. It's normal that you do that. But what is more important, that they have to learn something else, the spiritual language. The spiritual language is the lifeblood of the nation. In other words, if the Maori is to survive, the spiritual language has to be introduced systematically, just like at the school. Why? Because the spiritual language contains the other realities. You know, when you talk about God, you talk about the soul, you talk about other dimensional experiences, you talk about meditation, you talk about spiritual experiences. Those are part of the life of the people. And if there is no language for them, they cannot appreciate it. And if they cannot appreciate it, they will not do it. And if they not do it, the people stagnate. You notice that all the great civilizations had a tremendous spiritual vitality. You know, when you talk about the peak of the Roman civilization or the Egyptian or Greek civilization or Indian civilization, the Vedic times, they all had developed a scientific spiritual language. And that is what marked the civilization to be great. And what I feel over the years, that this is happening in New Zealand already. A scientific spiritual Maori language, increasingly more words and more words introduced. Now, what does that mean? It means that more people in the Maori society will respond to spiritual knowledge, to the idea of a superphysical life, to the idea of superphysical experiences, to the idea of the meaning of life itself. The meaning of life can only be conveyed in a spiritual language. This book here has got about 4,000 spiritual words in it, in the dictionary part of it, which are all in Sanskrit, Greek, Latin, Arabic, or whatever, signifying spiritual terminology, spiritual things that can happen to you. What happened to you after death? What happened to you before you were born? What's happening to your life now? That has to be able to be expressed in the language. You know, nowadays there's a lot of Maori writers, which is good. What is their language? Can they portray an out-of-body experience in Maori language? Can they portray the journey of the soul, the living soul which you are? So that's what we mean by an increasing and rebirth of the language. When we introduce the spiritual words into the Maori language, then the Maori can speak about their spiritual experience. They can actually express what they feel inside. As I said, the language is okay just to communicate on the worldly level, you go to job. But what if you had an out-of-body experience? What if you had a dream? What if you had a vision? Where is the words for it to express it? So this is what I mean. The real rebirth of the Maori language, the real regeneration, is actually a coming in of another influence from an invisible world, from an invisible side, which starts regenerating the language on the spiritual level. And that's not all. There's a still deeper influence of the language, and that is the transformative language. Transformative language can be given to you only by a living teacher. That is to say, a person who has experienced that transformative language. You know, like the ancients used to have. There was ancient Tohunga sages in Maoridom who knew the transformative language. Magic language. You know, you said something, a certain sequence of sound, like ma, ta, ri, ki. You said just say ma, ta, ri, ki, but ma, ta, ri, ki. These are magic sounds. So on the deepest layers of the language, any language, is what we call the science of sound. How to arrange the syllables of that sound to produce miracles, to produce magic, to produce transformation in your own mind and consciousness. And when you realize that the language can be used as a transformative language, you can transform your mind. You can make it peaceful. You can produce well-being. You can have spiritual experiences. You can discover the meaning of life. And that's what we call transformative language. So, you know, you're talking about Matariki, the Pleiades. There's a lot of mythology about the Pleiades. There's mythologies in the Maori language, there's mythologies in the Greek language, there's mythologies in every culture about the star system of Pleiades. But nobody knows why. You know, everybody invents some kind of a mythology and they think that, okay, the Pleiades are influencing us and that's fine, so they make up a story why and how. But there is a real reality behind all those mythologies. And there's a real reality behind the mythology of Pleiades or Matariki in the Maori. There is something really behind it. In other words, the mythology is like you tell the kids about something. You know, when you want to tell the kids about something you know as an adult, but you know that you can't express yourself in a kid's language, so you just tell them some story which you think they will understand. So all these mythologies are just little stories for children. But behind it is the real story. So what's the real story of the Pleiades? Well, every time in history when a nation begin to rise up, begin to develop, begin to come to the peak, always the players appearing in their consciousness. Every time. Every time, whether it was the Greek civilization, whether the Roman civilization, or far back in Babylon, long time in ancient history, every time they talked about the Pleiades, they reached a high-level civilization. Why? Because the Pleiades is a kind of vibration, a cosmic energy which stimulates your mind. It stimulates the mind of the deity which we live in, the Ra, the solar logos, the sun. The deity whose orbit or energy field we are living in. We are living in the orbit of the sun. Now, when the sun receives this cosmic energy and vibration into the solar system, it reverberates all on the planet, and then a civilization begins to register it. And they say, hey, oh, those are beautiful stars, you know, and then we make up a story about it. But that's already a reaction, a response. So first came the influence of the stars themselves. And then society reacts to it one way or another. But it's always said one thing in the past, mental development, the development of the language, the development of the ideas, the development of the civilization. Every time when Pleiades came into view, when people recognized it, the civilization was growing and growing to the peak. Now the Maoris are thinking about Matariki. What does that mean? It means that within the depths of mind of the Maori consciousness, there is a growth process, there is some transformation taking place, some magic takes place in response to Matariki, which means that the language will develop, which means that your understanding will develop, which means that you will develop spiritually. It's not just on the mental level, but on the spiritual level. You reawaken the ancient esoteric school, the Fari Wananga. The real esoteric school. Because the real esoteric school or the real mystic school can only function through that principle of Matariki, the enlightened mind, the illuminated mind, the mind of light. So you see, it all ties up what's happening in the cosmos out there and what's happening to you right now. And this will increase. Within the next 50 years, you will have an amazing civilization. You will have an amazing language full of the most amazing words based on spiritual experience. So you see, what I see over the last, 50 years is the gradual development of the Maori language, apparently first just on the physical level, just learning words about different things, different gadgets, different inventions of society, what to call a television, what you call a telephone. But that's not the real issue. What the real issue is that other subtle influence which makes you stir towards the spiritual side of it. And behind that is another one, an esoteric side of it. And that's where the Pleiades or Matariki will have to develop two things, the spiritual side of the language and experience, and also the invisible esoteric side, which is deeper still. And so, when you are here in this library, you're studying all kinds of different subjects, but you remember that it's only what you see and hear and touch with the physical eyes and the physical senses. It's not the inner. Something inside you is also changing. And that's why even on the worldly level, education is very, very important. So that you can fit yourself into the world, so that you can get a better job, you can earn more money, and thereby having a better life as a family. But that's only a small part of it. You can have a nation which is rich, which they got good jobs, but they're still spiritually dull and unevolved. Just merely a worldly language which knows how to get around the world is only a small part of it. You want to have something else, to be spiritual giants. Look at the Greek civilization, they were giants. They had beautiful arts, they had beautiful philosophies, beautiful understanding of the meaning of life. And all these great civilizations, east, west, north and south, those who reached the peak, they had a tremendous understanding of life itself and the purpose of life. What are we here for? Is it just to go to work, live and then die, and that was the end of it? Is that the meaning of life? No. And they develop language to express these other realities. So I can see that the Maori language is developing gradually to be able to express other realities, the hidden things which are not obvious to the ordinary mind. And that is where Matariki comes in. That is a subtle kind of energy stream which is bombarding the planet. And as I said now, it seems to be the time for the Maori civilization to start reaching its peak and to grow until you reach the height again. Because long, long time ago, when you arrived in New Zealand long, long time ago, about 1,000 years ago. You come from another place. At that time, you had a civilization, a great civilization, because where you were coming from had a great civilization. So you come here, but over the centuries, as I mentioned before, civilizations rise and fall. So, you know, things get forgotten, and as the civilization forgets things, so does the language, increasingly losing words because it's not being expressed. So it means that the Aesotic language is being lost, and, you know, by the time 1,000 years later on, you have only a few words left about spiritual things, about the inner life, about the mind content, about realities and so on. So, the cycle now is starting again, now going up again. You're going to recover the ancient wisdom. You're going to recover the science of spirituality. You're going to recover the idea that, hey, we are a multidimensional beings. And this universe is a multidimensional universe. And we have to fit in with these amazing transdimensional realities, amazing states of consciousness, mind, being, life, light, everything else. Amazing glories which we have within ourselves and in the universe. And there's a language for it. And that language can be spoken and taught to other people. So as that language increases, you teach the children, and they teach their children, and they teach it in schools and in universities and everywhere. Why? Because then you see this civilization growing and growing until it speaks again. So I see another cycle coming into the Maori history, if you like, where you start climbing up again, climbing up in understanding and in spiritual power and energy. Remember that language is a power and energy. Every time when you say something, it produces an effect. Quite literally, it produces an effect on the environment. Just listen to it again. You say, Matariki, but say it with the power. Ma-ta-ri-ki. If you understand what it means, it's a magical word. Every Maori word can be turned into a magical word if you understand the power of sound, if you understand the hidden influence of language, because language is sound. It's not just an idea. The language is made out of syllables. It's made out of sound structures, atomic sounds. And then if you understand the esoteric sounds, you know how to use that atomic sound structure to produce transformations in your mind, to change your environment for the better, to make life grow. The ancient Tuhungas understand that, but as I said, later on they forgot it, because it's natural that centuries after centuries people forget. They lose the words because they don't have the experience. It's a normal process that every civilization degenerates until a new civilization comes up. It's the way of life, you know. You're born, you grow, you develop, you reach its peak, and then you decline and you die. It's like a normal human life cycle. Civilizations are like that. They grow from a seed, they become powerful, they conquer, then they decline and disappear. It's a life cycle. So civilizations have the same life cycle as human beings, okay? So now what's happening is the last 20 years especially with the Maori language is that not only it's growing on the horizontal level, on the worldly level, you know, getting more words for all kinds of gadgets and all kinds of modern things, but it's more that it's growing on the spiritual dimension level. The carvings and all the karakias and everything else is showing that there's a re-interest in the spiritual side of life. That means the Maori people are beginning to be interested as a spiritual life, a spiritual existence, as a meaningful existence. Not just, you know, getting a good job and getting some degrees or diplomas at the university or education institute. But that's only the superficial meaning of life. Beyond that, there's another deeper meaning of life. And that's where the spiritual Maori language is coming more and more into use. And it's going to be more and more into use so that you can communicate. You know, when you had an experience, some sort of an amazing experience, you can express it in the Maori. Hey, you know, I just said that the other guy says, yeah, I understand it. At the moment, a lot of it has to be expressed in English because, you know, the English is a very amazing language. It's the world language anyhow, number one language in the world. It's spoken by over 1 billion people in different countries, either as a first language or as a second language, but over 1 billion people, thousands of, you know, different countries speak the English language, which means that it's got a lot of words in it. Over the centuries, accumulated lots of words because of people's experiences. So this is what's going to happen in the Maori too. As the Maori people begin to have super physical experiences, as they begin to understand the glories of life or the meanings of life, as you begin to see inside yourself some amazing possibilities, you will express it in words. And as you express it in words, you can teach it to others. And you can teach the kids. And the kids realize that, hey, there are those other things. Because at the moment, you know, when you go to school, all you learn is just the household words. Or all you learn is just some basic ideas of how to relate to the world. But the real education is how to teach them that they are a living soul. They're living in a multidimensional reality. Not in a multi-society, but a multidimensional reality. And that multidimensionality is impacting on them all the time. Invisible powers are energizing them all the time. Now, when the kids realize that, and the adults realize that, then all this idea of unhappiness will cease. All the idea of trying to find your way of life cease. Because you know where the way of life is. You know who you are. You know what you are. You know what everything is about you. Because you have experienced it. And you can only experience it through language. Somebody has to tell you about it. And then you have to understand it. It all takes place in the mind and in language. So that's why the tremendous significance of language. Language is the system of communicating your ideas and also communicating your experiences. And that increases your own knowledge content. It increases your power to express yourself. It increases your power to help others. The whole idea of language is to be able to help others through your own understanding. And you can convey that understanding to their own mind. And they can understand it. So, you know, I have seen the increase of, or could say, the rebirth of the Maori language. As I said, up to now was mainly on the physical side. But it's going to increase more on the spiritual side. And through the right teachers, you will reach the esoteric wisdom which the ancient Maori had. The old Tohungas, when they first came to New Zealand, they had a secret school. They had a secret language. They had a secret writing. They had a secret knowledge. But because they kept it secret, it's dying out or died out. It just happens that over centuries, things decline. It's the law of life. So you accept that. But you know that now you are aware of Matariki. You are aware of the cosmic influences coming from the stars. And you know that those influences will help to develop your mind. It will help develop the mind of the whole Maori dome as one single item. You know, because every race actually has got a racial soul. You might think that you belong to such and such a tribe or such and such a whānau or something like that, but that's only the small part of it. There is a racial soul, a gigantic soul covering all of Maori dome. Everybody who is Maori will come under that racial soul. The same as everybody who is English has its own racial soul. The Irish, the Chinese, the Japanese, the whoever. Every country has what we call a racial soul, where a beautiful living soul tries to inspire all these units. You know, every member is just a unit of the racial soul. So you have a racial soul for the Maori, and every Maori, regardless of which tribes they belong to, which family, are being influenced by it. And this is what you have to pick up, the largeness, you know, rather than just thinking that, oh, I'm just part of this family or tribe or sub-tribe. You think, I'm a Maori, I'm large, I belong to all. And beyond that, you got to another stage, which is another higher level of awareness, when you become aware that there is one single humanity. So first in your spiritual development, you become aware that's you, that's fine. And that's my family, and that's fine. That's my sub-tribe, that's fine. This is my tribe, that's fine. Then we are all Maori, that's fine. And suddenly, boom, he says, oh, we are all human beings. And that's when you reach the peak of development and the peak of enlightenment, the peak of understanding of the meaning of love. We are one family. The whole planet is one tribe, one nation, one country. That realization will take you away from all the littleness and become great. You will be able to welcome everybody on this planet. Hey, you are part of my family. We are all one family. But there's a language for that. The language of oneness. The language of wholeness. The language of completeness. That is what Matariki is about. It's that language where you can understand the oneness of all life. You are one with the trees, the plants. You are one with this building. You are one with the next building. You are one with the past, the present, and the future. This is when you have enlightenment. This is when you become a great, great leader. You know, all the great past leaders of Māoridom, they were great because they had a largeness of life. The truly great people always see things in a large way. They comprehend and understand things in a large way. And this is what the ultimate goal of this whole thing is. The ultimate goal of the Maori language is to develop that largeness where you can include everybody. You can see everybody as part of your own soul, your own life, your own reality. Then you become a true Maori. You have grown through the various stages of growth, from a little child to the teenager to the adult, those who are a little bit more experienced and those who have reached the final conclusion of life. So languages go like that. People go like that. And Maori will go like that too. You will attain a wisdom which people will talk about in future generations because you have to, because that's your destiny now. You know, people will say, oh yeah, we had this Maori civilization on this planet, you know, like the great Greek civilization, the Chinese civilization, we had a great Maori civilization. They will talk exactly like that. Why? Because you reached that peak. And you are on the ascending arc. You are increasing. And the next 10, 30 or 40 years, it will increase. You who are in the library, you know what the library is? It's a field of knowledge. You also have to concentrate on the spiritual knowledge. It's not enough just to concentrate on how to get good jobs. That's very important to study up different subjects to get your diplomas, degrees and qualifications for jobs and all that. That's all very useful. You have to live here and that's fine. But something else has to be developed. The language and sounds of spirituality, which lifts you out from the ordinary to the superordinary. The Maori have got a huge destiny. I was sent here a long time ago, you know, I was 16 years of age when I arrived in New Zealand, and I already understood part of my mission was to elevate the Maori language, elevate the Maori people to their former glory. But at that time, when I first arrived, it would have been impossible even to talk about spiritual ideas. It would have been impossible to talk about supernatural things. People were so tied up with the world living. But that will change. You find that increasingly more Maori will be interested in more supernatural things. They want to understand, well, what happened to Uncle Joe when he died? Where does he go? What does he do? Is he still alive? Is he dead? People will become seriously interested. And we say, we have a definite 100% knowledge about all those fields. We know where you were before you were born, where you go after your death. We know all the possibilities of human evolution and development. You can go as far as you want to. You become God if you want to. Or you become just an ordinary Joe Blogs if you want to. The evolution is infinite. And this is what we need to convey in the Maori language. Evolution is infinite. Life is infinite. Happiness is infinite. Joy is infinite. Everything. Love is infinite. And you can convey that through the language by developing the language, teaching the kids that other language, that other spiritual language. But you can only do so if you are trained in the other meanings of life, the other sense of life, if you can express yourself in the right language, and as I said, more importantly, that you had that experience yourself. You know, this is not a philosophy. I never in all my life taught philosophy or theoretical stuff. It's all based on my experience. I've been experiencing superphysical things since I was 3 years of age. I know all the intervals, I know all this stuff, I know various levels of possibilities. I experienced all that, years after years. So to me, everything is practical, not just simply a philosophy that, oh, maybe there is something better, maybe this, maybe that. No, maybe there is. For me, it is. But it means that you have to be able to, first of all, receive it. And that's where Mata Reiki will help. Mata Reiki will stimulate the mind, the mental side of the Maori nation. It will develop mind development. And as your mind develops, so will your intelligence and understanding develop. And as your intelligence and understanding develop, so you will want to express yourself in art, in literature, in science, in culture, in language, in speaking, in expressing yourself. But that's still only on the middle level. There's something else. There's another side has to be introduced, what the ancients called the Parivananga, the esoteric school, the real depths of school which tells you the real meaning of life, the real understanding of life, and what you can do about it, and what you can do with it. And this, of course, is part of that great, what we call renewal of the whole Maori language, and with that the Maori culture, and with that your job in the Pacific. You might not know, but when I first came out here a long time ago, the Maori was supposed to be the light, a beacon light for the Pacific people. Amongst all the Pacific tradition, you could say that the Maori tradition is the most complete, the most unique, and the most powerful. There's nothing like that anywhere else in the Pacific like the Maori tradition. It's so complete. But what if you raise it still to more perfection? What if you're expressing it even more? What if it becomes even more dynamic? Then you influence all the Pacific nations and you reach that point which the Maoris were supposed to be doing in this part of the world. You know, there is different cultures supposed to achieve a different reality in different parts of the world. Well, the idea of the Maori nation is to actually influence the Pacific for spiritual development, for mental development, for the real meaning of life, not just here locally, but the whole Pacific region. And it will be done as you grow and as you come under the real influence of the Pleiades, which is a cosmic mind structure. The Pleiades throws out vibrational energy, something which stimulates your mind. Ooh, you begin to understand things. You know, you wake up and you begin to understand things. That's the influence of Pleiades. But that will stimulate your whole language, a revival of the language, which is a revival of the nation. You have to think of Maori Dong as one nation, not as a tribe or a sub-tribe or something, but as a nation with a destiny. If you like, just comparing it, what's happening here in New Zealand is what happened, say, in Italy many, many centuries ago. They were just little tribes and things like that. They used to fight each other, and they became a nation. And when they became a nation, become a great civilization. So when all the tribes become one nation, then Maori Dong achieves a great civilization. No longer, you know, that I am this tribe and that tribe and the other tribe. I am a Maori, which means I belong to that nation, which means I belong to a particular identity. And that will conquer the world. In other words, conquer the world with knowledge. Conquer the world with understanding, with attainment, with art, with culture, with religious inspiration. So, you know, you see, if you look back on the development the last 20 or 30 or 40 years, what's happening in Maori Dong, you have to understand it a little bit deeper. And as you understand it a little bit deeper level, you say, wow, what amazing times we are at. How lucky I am to be born at this time. You're really very lucky to be born at this time. Because, you know, before, if you just think back the Maori life in the 18th century, just to compare how much movement was since that time to now. If you just think back, you live in the forest, you have the rituals, you have various daily life, but very, very simple. No big mental knowledge, no big mental understanding. Just you follow a religious tradition, like all tribes always just follow an accepted tradition. That's why we do it. This is how we did it. The ancients did it like that. But since then, it's a huge leap. Now you begin to understand why. Why do we have to do these things at all in the first place? What's the meaning behind it? And with that understanding comes illumination. You broaden your mind. And you understand, wow, what is the essential meaning of life? You know, like with this whole idea of the Pleiades, Matariki, there's legends about it. But what is the legend? Like covers, they hide something. What they hide is a very important field of knowledge. And you discover that all tradition hides a very important field of knowledge. And it is that knowledge you will be after. This, well, this is the tradition, but what's behind it? Why was that made up? Now, when you have that, you become enlightened. Quite literally, your mind will shine with light. Now, when the whole of the Maori nation will shine with light, it will go down in history as one of the great civilizations on the planet. And this is what you can be. This is what is a possibility for you to be. This is why all this is actually happening. So I'm just trying to kind of inspire you a little bit that what appears to be something ordinary is not really ordinary at all. You know, all this idea of teaching all the kids Maori, that's not the limit. It's not where it all ends. All the kids should be learning Maori. That's fine. But that's not where it all ends. The Maori kids should also learn about the spiritual values of things. And even that's not the end. They should be trained into the realization of the spiritual values. That's where it's going to end. So the whole idea is a growth of you as parents, as teachers or students, to understand why you're here for in the first place, able to convey that knowledge to others, the children or other adults who require, and through that, they're able to practice what you already know from your own personal experience. And then you understand, wow, we are a nation. You know, you will become a nation. You know what? It's an amazing thing when you realize that you are a nation, not just part of the Waikato tribe or some Iwi up in north. No, you are a nation. You know what it means, a nation? It's an amazing thing. It's a big thing. It's beyond the individual. It's beyond you. It's beyond your family. It's an entity of a large proportion. That's what a nation is. And you will become a nation. And in that nation, we'll have one common language. The language of ordinary life, the language of spiritual life, and the language of experiencing the interdimensional, the invisible worlds. What all these ancients were talking as mythology, you know, all these creation stories are just mythology. But behind them, there's a real, real fact, a real, real truth, and you're going to discover what that is. You know, when they talk about the darkness and how everything came out of the darkness and all the regions of darkness, all that, you will understand practically what that means. Not as a mythology, but a real happening in your life. All those myths are happenings in your life. And that comes through the understanding of the language. Anyhow, I have to watch because otherwise I will be running over time. But what I would like to tell you, you know, in very, very simple words, that there's two things. One, if you're actually interested, there is different books, you know, in English language, Peace of Mind in the Troubled World, that's the latest. You can sort of, you know, borrow or buy books or whatever to educate on the spiritual level, to open your mind up to amazing spiritual realities. But that's only one thing. The other thing is really what we're here for is to celebrate the Maori language. And, you know, the idea of the Maori New Year, that's fine too. But again, beyond that, there's another esoteric value. You know, celebrating New Year is a good fun. Different people celebrate it. The Chinese have a different New Year. The Europeans have another New Year. The Muslims have another New Year. That's fine. But the New Year itself symbolizes something. You see, people get caught up in the outer show. A New Year means a new beginning. So when you celebrate the Maori New Year, it doesn't mean that you celebrate a day. It means a new beginning. You celebrate a new life, a new rebirth. If you lived in Europe, you realize that a new year is very, very meaningful because in Europe you have a very cold winter, maybe snow for 3 or 4 months or 5 months. And then when the new year happens, you can see the snow melting and little buds coming up, little flowers shooting up, the trees coming up, and you say, the spring has arrived, you know, a new season begins and you're looking forward to summer. So that's what it is. You are having a new year. A new year means you're looking forward to a new life. You're looking forward to a new meaning to be a Maori. It's not the same as you think you were in 18th century. The problem is Maori don't like this old culture. They always hang back into the past, you know. Like the Irish always wants to be Irish 1,000 years ago. The Maori want to be a Maori as they were 1,000 years ago. Everybody is always looking back to the past because that's how we were anciently. If you simply hang on to the past, you never move ahead. You know, you have to step 1 foot forward all the time, not 1 foot backward all the time. Forget the past. You have a new year now. You have an amazing new possibility here now. This is your golden opportunity to become a civilization, one nation, one mighty civilization. If you can just even think what that means. Forget about the past. Forget about tribes. We are an amazing, powerful nation. It's an amazing, powerful language. It's an amazing, powerful possibility. The Maori language has got an amazing power in it already. From the ancient past. It's already full of magic power. It's full of magic meaning. If you begin to understand the structure of the Maori language, you realize it's full of magic meaning. Every syllable has a meaning. Every combination of a syllable has a meaning. Every Maori word can be turned into a magic power. It's already there. But it has been forgotten. And it's fine. But there's a new civilization coming, and you are part of it, and you're going to participate in it. And in that new civilization, re-established the power of the Maori language, an incredible source of power. In that source of power, there is culture, there is evolution, there is a forward movement, there is a new awakening, a new birth of the spirit within you, quite literally. The new birth of the soul of the Maori nation. I'm talking about the nation. I know you're not used to the idea of Maori nation, but the Maori is a nation. Sooner or later you realize that you are Maori anyhow, and you are one nation. It's like, as I said, it happened also in amongst the other communities in Europe. The Irish had many tribes, they fought, and they became one nation. The Scottish were many tribes, they fought, and they became one nation. The Italians had many tribes, and fought, they became one nation. It's a sign of a growth when many tribes become together and get unified, become one nation. Now, the Hungarians, you see, I'm Hungarian by background, they had seven tribes. They arrived in Europe, they conquered that little middle Europe part of the world, but they were seven tribes, and they decided consciously to become one nation. How they did it? They made a pact, get all the seven tribal chiefs, and they cut their hand like that, and they put all that blood into one goblet, one glass, and they each drank a little bit of that blood. And they become seven tribes, one nation. Ever since they are one nation. You don't have to do that now, that you don't have to chop your arm and drink blood. But the idea, you can still do it. You know, the ancients went a little bit rough way. You know, they decided to become one nation, and they did it, and they're still one nation after 1,000 years. Well, my suggestion is that you are already one nation. It's just a matter of living it like one nation, becoming like one nation, and acting like one nation. And then you are there. The chiefs don't even have to go and drink each other's blood. It's not necessary anymore. There's more easy way. You can go to the pub and have a beer or something like that. You know, or have a big boil-up if you want to. It doesn't matter. But the fact is, the idea behind it is there. Because you know what that means? You leap forward in evolution. You leap forward in time and space. You leap forward on this planet. This is the important. This is your golden opportunity now. And this is just what I need to say to you.